are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, November the 11th, and Blake is back. We look back and ahead on this big, important day for the Detroit Pistons season. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today we are going to run down Friday's game in Indiana, another loss, and look back a little bit on how things went for the Pistons without Blake Griffin in 10 games, a clean portion of the schedule where the Pistons went 4-6. For better or worse, we're also going to talk about what the team is going to look like with him back in the lineup, a little bit of an injury update all the way around, who might be coming back, who might be a little bit more of a long shot. And today we're also going to talk about tonight's opponent, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who come to Detroit on the second half of back-to-back. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons lose on Friday night in Indiana 112-106, and then proceeded to have the first 2 days of rest this season over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. But don't get too comfortable, because the Pistons have another back-to-back coming these next couple days, going to Miami tomorrow night on Tuesday to face the red-hot Miami Heat after taking on Minnesota tonight. I was at the Red Wings game on Friday night during this one, so I didn't go back and watch the whole thing. I watched the first quarter before the puck dropped at 7:30 in downtown Detroit, and went back and watched the fourth quarter as the Pistons kind of made their comeback. But 29-6-5 for Luke Kennard. Looked like he played great in this one. 19 points for Langston Galloway. A strong game for him off the bench. 3 out of 6 from three-point land. 15-13-8 for Andre Drummond. Only playing 34 minutes. Foul trouble throughout for him, including a important stretch after he got his third foul in the second quarter, where the Pistons went into the tank after that, bringing in the Christian Wood Thon Maker group for those key backup big minutes that they're just not equipped to handle at this point, as we know. Like I said, watch the first quarter. The Pistons were rolling 35-27, and then Andre gets in the foul trouble. Went to hell from there. Obviously, Andre's got to be smarter than that. He's got to be responsible for managing his foul situation, something he struggled with at times throughout his career, a lot of times throughout his career. And, of course, a lot of big men do, and it's part of the game of NBA basketball. But when you're counted on to be the best player on the court for these stretch of games without Blake Griffin, we had a couple of those nights, and it's kind of what we come to expect from Andre Drummond. It's part of what he is, and there's something to be said for the aggression there, and it works out and is key for the defense at times, but obviously we know that there's a lot of dumb fouls that he's committed over the years, and we wouldn't expect that to change overnight, and certainly probably don't really expect it to change much throughout his entire career. Some guys, you are who you are at some point. Obviously, a lot more good than bad with Andre Drummond, certainly this year included. But can't have that kind of thing on a big road game, winnable game, that the Pistons lost too many of those over these past 10. Markieff Morris, Tony Snell, Bruce Brown, all barely in double figures for them. Also of note, nothing, like I said, really from Thon Maker and Christian Wood when they were needed with Andre out. I do have my theory on Christian Wood, keeping a close tab on it here. At home, Christian Wood is a 9-6 player. On the road, he's a 6-2 player so far. So my theory that Christian Wood is one of those energy type of guys who thrives off the confidence of the home crowd, and called it out in the preseason, and it's bore out so far in this season. The percentages are a little bit better at home as well, too. So it bears out so far. We'll see how that kind of plays out. My little patting myself on the back for having a nice little theory there, and we'll see how that goes. But the Pistons, like I said, fall to 4-6, a half game outside of the playoffs, tied with Charlotte for 9th in the Eastern Conference. 4-5, that's a 7th place tie. I'm sorry, 4-5 on the season record-wise is a tie for 7th between Brooklyn and Cleveland. That gets you in a pathetic Eastern Conference, as we know. And I think as Pistons fans, you know, we got a little bit higher of a standard for this group than just squeezing in with a 500 record and getting the eighth seed and getting blown out in the first round. If that's the case, you know, if that's what we're driving towards, if that's what we're rolling towards come January or February, trade deadline time, trade season, I have a feeling just like last year, you know, the ratings for Locked On Pistons went up. A lot of you guys were listening during the trade deadline discussion because that was a lot of what 97.1 was talking about it and the controversial where's this team going. I think we are heading towards that times two, times three this year in terms of realistic possibilities if Blake Griffin gets healthy that he might be on the trade block or should be on the trade block. So we'll have discussions about whether it should happen or not. Obviously, with Andre Drummond's expiring contract, that puts him and his future into a big discussion point as well. It's going to be kind of a polarizing winter, I believe, for the Pistons fandom and also for your host and maybe some of your listeners that might disagree with some opinions that I have. But, man, if we're barreling towards that eighth seed, you're going to hear maybe a different tone on this podcaster come the beginning of 2020. But the Pacers, man, they're 6-4 without Victor Oladipo, leading the teams outside the top five in the East. We talked about how the top five kind of separated themselves a little bit. But the Pacers joining that group in the over 500 teams category. I'm not sure that the Pacers have the staying power to stay above 500 without Victor Oladipo in the lineup, but they're there now. Give them credit for that. They've weathered the storm much better than the Pistons, that's for sure. And again, you can't give the same credit to the Pistons, who went 4-6 without Blake Griffin. The stretch includes losses to Atlanta, Chicago, Washington, Indiana. I mean, all missed opportunities right there. Obviously, you got the Toronto and Philly losses, too, that we'll kind of excuse on, despite the fact that Joel Embiid missed that game. You're at home on a Saturday night. I mean, this schedule sucked. This was a chance for the Pistons to go 7-3 out of the gate and have a great chance of having a great start to the season with a soft early schedule. Now, and I know Blake Griffin's injury, Derrick Rose's injury, Tim Frazier's injury, Reggie Jackson's injury have all played a part in the Pistons. They do have a nice win over Brooklyn. They beat Indiana 2 out of 3 times, took care of business against the Knicks, who are you know, probably the worst team, if not the second or third worst team in the NBA. I'm not that excited about a 4-6 start, not going to lie to you, but certainly they stayed above water. They did not torpedo the whole season into the abyss. There's a chance to kind of recover from this. Maybe it's a Lions Sunday that's got me not as excited about this as well. Let's turn the page a little bit here as we look ahead to the Blake Griffin era of this season for the Pistons, as the Pistons hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight, the T-Wolves on the second half of back-to-back. The Pistons will have a game, like I said, second half, back-to-back, Miami, Tuesday night in South Beach, back-to-back number 3 on the season for the Pistons, and then a couple days off before being at Charlotte on Friday night. As we look ahead to next week, several days off after that one to open next week, Chicago on the road on Wednesday. So 1/6 the way through the season after game number 13 on Friday night, the Pistons get a little 4-game break to kind of make the adjustments with Blake back in the lineup. But, hey, we got a great social network feed that you should check out, Locked On NBA Net. It's a collection of all the hosts on one Twitter feed. Check us out on Twitter. Really cool during the day to catch up on the news and during a full slate of games at night. Same handle, Locked On NBA Net, on Instagram as well, highlighting the biggest stories of the NBA. Up next, we're going to talk about Blake Griffin, the injury updates all around, the numbers of the 10-game stretch without him and how that went, and what the big man's presence will be on the roster. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to go in-depth on the Minnesota Timberwolves, what to look for tonight as the Pistons host Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Derrick Rose playing against his former team, by the way. But I want to reflect a little bit more on this past 10-game stretch without Blake Griffin. Numbers-wise, the biggest thing that jumps out to you is the Pistons lead the NBA in three-point percentage right now at 39.6%. But when you hear a number like that and you hear that they're leading the NBA in that, are you kind of like me and that actually kind of bums you out early in the season given the record and where they're at? I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe if the Lions got me in a mood today, maybe it's a Sunday night thing. Not a big Sunday night guy. Not as excited as I should be about a 4-6 basketball team kind of staring into the abyss a little bit of the winter that we have coming up. We've got the snow coming today, winter advisory, weather advisory, all that stuff. Should be fun here in Southeast Michigan. And as a guy who's only a few years removed from living in the Caribbean, man, it's a tough time of year for your boy. So have some sympathy for me. I appreciate it. We'll try to perk it up a little bit going forward. Blake Griffin is coming back tonight, so reason to be optimistic and excited and watch your basketball team and know that good things could be on the horizon, should be on the horizon at least to some extent. But when your team shooting nearly 40% from three, you know that's going to dip. There's going to be a little course correction there. And still 4-6 when the shooting is better than it's going to be. Now, the other side of the coin, 28.0 attempts from three after shooting, I think, about 33-35 per game last year. Third to worst in the NBA in terms of the volume of three-point attempts per game. 28th in the league. Only better in that regard than San Antonio and Indiana. And those are kind of the last holdovers of the no three-point attempts. Now, we know that there was a lot of Andre Drummond initiating offense from the in the half court there. So obviously I think that kind of leads to less threes. He's not finding open shooters as much as you might like. And he, you know, tends to drive to the basket and get his shot up from close range. And obviously he was shooting very well from close range, especially very early on in the season. So I think it's kind of a byproduct of the system they're dealing with. Reggie Jackson is your main primary ball handler, bringing the ball up the court in theory. If he's healthy, so that hurts kind of taking your offense out of your flow. And we know that he's a three-point shooter, a guy who can jack up a lot. And Blake Griffin, obviously, has become a volume three-point shooter as well, leading the team in attempts last year. So naturally, that will raise up. I think this team will shoot a lot, some more threes going forward, and I would expect certainly that three-point percentage to go down, maybe even drastically so with Blake. We know that he's improved the shooting, but he might be going through a little bit of a rust early on. You know, the guy's been sitting down for a little while. This is the beginning of his season. We talked about the rust for all the other players on the team in their first and second games of the year. So now we're going to see Blake Griffin kind of deal with that, in addition to getting back into game shape, getting physically ready and taking care of himself as he needs to. But the Pistons without Blake, 14th in the league in offensive rating, so right in the middle of the pack, 24th in the league in defensive rating. And if you watch the games night in and night out like I do, I think that sounds about right. There's a lot of you guys out there who want to give Defensive Player of the Year to Andre for anchoring the 24th best defense in the league. I'm not there. Certainly great improved effort by him emerging on that end for sure. And I know he's been the best guy on that end on this team right now, no doubt, when he's going well. But let's not put him in the Hall of Fame quite yet. But by the way, just Blake Griffin is probable for tonight. Officially on the injury report. He told reporters on Sunday that he's going to play tonight against Minnesota. The report came out from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN on Saturday that he was planning on making it happen. So that was an exciting kind of weekend jolt while you were watching the Spartans piss one away at Spartan Stadium on Saturday. But Woj said that would be the case. And although Dwayne Casey on Sunday said he's not sure, maybe Woj knows more than he does. I don't know if Coach is being coy or if you would think that he would know his best player is coming back if he's devising a game plan to take on Karl-Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves. But Blake, you know, as with everything, talked and was great about this stuff. Throughout the entire process, he says he trusts the medical staff and that he had several days of pain-free practices. So that was great to see. Assuming that there was kind of a setback there at the end of the preseason, had some pain in that hamstring/knee area, the left knee, that he'll probably be wearing that the leg sleeve, you would think, for at least the beginning of the season, and we'll see if there's any knee brace or whatever it looks like for Blake, and we'll see how he moves early on this season as well. We know that he's going to start. We know that they might be watching some of his minutes, especially early. Interesting, of course, that he has a back-to-back in his first two games playing Tuesday night in Miami. Maybe he doesn't go or maybe he doesn't play in Miami. It would make a little bit of sense to sit him for the game two of the back-to-back. I know that would be a little frustrating to get him back on the court and then have him sit out the second game. But what does Blake Griffin's return mean for Thon Maker and Christian Wood? I think is the biggest question. Obviously, you got to reintegrate Andre and Blake together and a lot of your main lineups there. But those backup bigs, is it going to be kind of an alternating game situation as far as which of them gets the minutes as opposed to the other? Is Thon Maker just kind of out of his out of the rotation going forward? Is he kind of out of the rotation and then possibly making his way out of the league? I mean, it's been a rough start for him, to say the least. Really, Thon had, you know, a 5 to 7 games of definitely effort when he was traded over from the Milwaukee Bucks last year. But since then, it's been a pile of crap so far for Thon Maker in his time with the Detroit Pistons. I think that it's on the table that he's got to turn things up and really start finding a role on this team and in this league if he's going to stick around. Certainly young enough where some team's probably going to give him a chance next year. And maybe that is the Detroit Pistons if they feel desperate, if they see something from him the rest of the season. But I don't know that Thon Maker's long for this league if there's not some real improvements and real strength upgrades done with him relatively soon. I'm a Christian Wood guy. If you know those on the podcast, you know that. I've been had kind of googly eyes for him since the first preseason game. But we know that Dwayne Casey gives a little bit more edge on playing time to more advanced defensive guys. And Thon Maker is more trusted on that end, and for good reason so far. Christian Wood's got some holes in the game on the defense so far. But what about Blake? I mean, you know, with him, obviously he's been the leading scorer of this team since he's been here. But you expect him to be maybe a little bit more of a facilitator going forward. Might not score as much, might not need to. You got some offensive upgrades with this team, scoring the basketball. Derrick Rose takes a little bit of that scoring load off whenever he gets back, more so than the Reggie Jackson-Ish Smith combination last year. Markieff Morris, obviously more offensive than Zaza Pachulia or the other depth bigs from last year. And Luke Kennard scoring more this year, stepping up in that regard. He's scoring 18 points a game right now. The first year in his career in three seasons that he's averaged double figures, he only averaged 9.7 points last year, so almost doubling his mark. We know that's inflated a little bit by a couple of huge games against Indiana, 29 on Friday, and then the big opener as well. 7.6 points per game as a rookie. So, yeah, Luke has stepped up in that regard. Those numbers will calm down a little bit now that Blake Griffin's back with his usage coming up as well. But it's not like that Blake Griffin probably needs to have a go-get-a hoop every single time. I mean, you go down the roster, Andre Drummond's more comfortable as a scorer these days. Tony Snell is an upgrade on whoever the Reggie Bullock and you know, scoring-wise, Tony Snell's maybe a little bit more reliable of a scorer than the Wayne Ellington and Reggie Bullock combination from last year. Bruce Brown is a guy who you believe is going to score it and be a little bit more offensive-minded than he was last year. Certainly, we've seen that at times this season. So it might be nice for Blake to have a little bit lower usage rate as the season goes on. The numbers might dip. And it might be good for him to, you know, focus a little bit more on defense himself. Just saying, he could help a little bit more on that end there. But the other injury updates for the Pistons, Tim Frazier is probable. So he should return to the lineup tonight. That helps against a Minnesota team that's struggling with their own injuries in the backcourt. We'll talk about that. But by the way, Bruce Brown is also probable in this one. So a little bit of cause for concern there with a right knee contusion. That's worth keeping in mind, especially as you go to a back-to-back over these next couple days. Derrick Rose still questionable with the hamstring injury, so the injury news on Rose isn't quite as rosy there. See what I did there with Blake and the Tim Frazier's of the world. But maybe with Blake returning, might be some load management strategy there. If bring back Rose on Tuesday if he's ready, sit Blake on Tuesday. That way you're getting one impact player added back to the lineup each of the next couple nights. Just spitballing here. Free advice for Dwayne Casey if you want to think it over. Reggie Jackson, of course, still out. And Khyri Thomas popped up on the injury report on Sunday. He is going to be out for tonight's game with a right foot injury. So obviously the disappointment of the Khyri Thomas era continues and setting back his development even more so. I would imagine that I would think or hope that you might want to see him over in Grand Rapids joining Sekou Doumbouya, who had what looks to be a nice weekend over there. But hopefully we'll check in with Joe Truck or maybe someone who's following that one closely over these next few days after Sekou gets some more Grand Rapids Drive action under his belt and check in and see how the big fella's doing over there. But I'll tell you how the Locked On Podcast Network is doing. Outstanding Locked On NBA with the daily bite-sized shows. Look at yesterday's action and what is upcoming as well. Rejecting the Screen. Those guys do great, great wide-ranging NBA talk on Tuesday. And on Thursday, a long-form interview. I heard the one they did with Richard Jefferson. Good stuff there. And, of course, Hollinger and Duncan, one of the new anchors of our network. Very proud of to be part of a network that has that great show on it. I listen to it every week. John Hollinger and Nate Duncan, those guys do a great job. But coming up next, we're going to talk more about the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, the Pistons back in action tonight, taking on Karl Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are coming in the second half of back-to-back. This is the first game that the Pistons are playing against the Western Conference in Game 11. I remember last year this stretched out to like almost Thanksgiving. That day before the Thanksgiving game against Houston might have been the first Western Conference foe, but not so much the case this year, but close to it as we get into almost mid-November. As the holidays are approaching, by the way, the calendar just flies by as it does as we get older here. But Minnesota on Sunday lost in kind of a late afternoon matinee in overtime at home to the Denver Nuggets, 100-98. Weird to see Western Conference teams go to overtime and only one of them barely gets to 100 points. The T-Wolves were 6 of 45 from 3 in this game. Good Lord. 3 of 14 on three-pointers from the great Karl Anthony Towns, 25 points in 16 minutes for him. Really low efficiency on this late afternoon, though. But as a Pistons fan, you are happy to see the T-Wolves climb back into this game in the fourth quarter, use some legs and some energy in that one, and force overtime and get the loss. You probably actually want them to win so that they're playing with house's money a little bit there in the second half of a back-to-back. So the Timberwolves, coached by Ryan Saunders, coach of the son of the late Flip Saunders, former Pistons coach there. T-Wolves were without Jordan Bell, Shabazz Napier, and Jeff Teague, so two of their main point guards, including the starter in Jeff Teague. They didn't have a point guard in the starting lineup because of Teague's injury. Not sure if he'll be out tonight or not. We'll keep an eye on that throughout the afternoon. The T-Wolves have undrafted rookie Jordan McLaughlin out of USC as pretty much the only healthy point guard, and he's obviously not an impact player there. So they're missing Derrick Rose that they had last year as kind of the ball handler off the bench, but they're 5-4 right now. Karl Anthony Towns, statistic wise, counting numbers wise, as you know, he's been a beast as he has been throughout his career. 25 points and 12 rebounds per game for him, really more like 26 and 13 with the averages. More of the same that we've seen throughout his career, but new in that he's jacking up 9 threes a game and knocking them down too at a pretty good effort. That's going to pull Andre Drummond and or Blake Griffin away from the basket a little bit. Some interesting differences in what those guys got to do defensively. The overall shooting percentage is down for Karl Anthony Towns, a career low 47% so far. His first year under 50, but mostly because of the threes. True shooting percentage actually up to 63.6%, up from 62.2% last year. So obviously the three-point weighting into that has something to do with it. Last year he was getting up 4.6 threes per game. This year more than doubled that, up to 9.3 three-point attempts per game. So keep that in mind as the Pistons are shooting only 28 as a team, that Karl Anthony Towns has got 9.3. The biggest stat of Karl Anthony Towns as it relates to the Pistons, as the astute Detroit fans know out there, Cat is 0-8 in his career against the Pistons and Andre Drummond, one of the most bizarre stats of this era of Pistons basketball. There are real reasons for that. Andre Drummond has dominated him, and that has been the case. Certainly we don't expect Karl Anthony Towns to go 0-24 or 0-30 in his career against the Pistons, and that streak will end at some point, but as Pistons fans, we like to laugh and encourage that streak to continue for as long as possible as one of the, Karl Anthony Towns. And let's face it, this is a guy who's obviously very well regarded around the league, especially in fantasy basketball circles, but a budding superstar in the NBA. But here in Detroit, we've seen him play, we've seen him play a little bit more than just the games against the Pistons. I know a lot of you guys watch the league pass and go around the league quite a bit. But from what we've seen against him, with Detroit as the opponent, it's we kind of laugh sometimes when we hear about how great the great Karl Anthony Towns is, and just haven't seen it up close for ourselves as he's lost games against the Pistons night in and night out, 0-8, and we'll see if that continues tonight with Game 9 for Karl Anthony Towns against the Detroit Pistons. Minnesota, Vegas believes that they're going to get off to Schneid against the Pistons, 1.5-point favorites on the road against Detroit, although the game is off the board in a lot of places because of all the injuries. Maybe there's a chance that the Timberwolves will do some load management on the second half of a back-to-back. I haven't heard anything in that regard, so something to keep in mind. Maybe the great Karl Anthony Towns gets the night off from his nemesis, Andre Drummond, and also Blake Griffin as well. But it's Blake Day. He's back tonight. Get excited. I'm excited to see it. We'll move on to another chapter of this Detroit Pistons season, and we'll see how it goes tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But we'll talk Miami Heat tomorrow. We'll recap tonight's game on the episode coming out Tuesday. Look forward to spending some more time with you guys there. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. And thanks for listening. Talk to you guys on the morrow.